I feel bad because I confused everybody. You know, and I cannot blame nobody for it but myself. I started it, and I'm taking it on me. So.
Burdett to the lead. Yes. Burdett to the three. Bullseye! What a shot by Burdett!
This is From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette, presented by Primo Golf, clothing for the athletic golfer.
We are back for another. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jimmer Fredette, rocking the Team USA gear. And this is From the Logo, presented by Primo Golf. Great to have you with us for our deep range conversations about life inside and well beyond the world of sports. Jimmer, have you recovered from your Halloween candy consumption?
No, I have not. I am still full go on Halloween candy. We get these massive bags. I mean, when I was younger, we used to have the sacks, right? Like,
yes.
The pillowcases.
Yes.
My kids have the ones with the names on it. They're really nice. You know, all these things. I am full on in chocolate, peanut butter, everything. I'm taking all the Reese's, as we talked about. It's been incredible. Doing awesome. But more importantly, I'm just excited about the show today.
And you should be, because it is loaded. It is peanut butter and chocolate, if you will, in podcast form. At least we think so. And if you're new to the program, our purpose here is to uplift, educate, and entertain with an array of topics, including current events, impactful life experiences. We'll talk about a number of those today. And within our featured guests' lives, we all want you to feel better after hanging out with us and our guests, including the last episode. We got great feedback from that. Connor Mance opened up about really tough lessons he's learned in professional running, including those cheating to try and beat Connor, which is so incredibly frustrating for a guy like him.
Oh my goodness. When I heard that, I was kind of sad, right? To hear that. And, you know, he opens up about that a little bit, and the mentality of being just a marathon runner. To me, it's like dumbfounding, because I do not like to run like that. Ugh. Like, I never have. And I'm starting to pick it up a little bit, you know, where I'm getting more and more. So I'm starting to see, but he is just an incredible competitor, but at the same time, a good human being and someone who's trying to do it the right way. And I just love that about him. It's an awesome episode. Make sure you check it out.
I am super confident he's going to win a medal in 2028. I posted that on social media. I believe it. I believe he will medal for the United States in the marathon. He is so incredible.
I agree.
Did you pick up your Nike Zoom Vomero 18s or whatever shoe he told you to buy, by the way?
Not yet, but it's on the Christmas list. You know, I need to get the exact name again, right? So I need, once I figure that out and get the exact shoe, I'm going to text him on it, but it's on the Christmas list.
All right. You need to reveal your Christmas list in the coming weeks, by the way. We need to do that. We're bookmarking that Jimmer's Christmas wish list.
Not a lot on there. Tell you that much. Not a lot. We can do Whitney's Christmas list. That might
we don't
be
have
a
enough time.
Better.
We don't have enough time.
Oh, great.
All right. We do have time for the opening tip-off and our starting lineup today, which includes the early triple, three fantastic topics that Jimmer and I feel passionate about. We're going to discuss those in just a moment, including NBA pet peeves. I'm feeling really salty and just uncomfortable about one of those based on a video I saw recently, Jimmer. My goodness. Now, to take that salty taste away, a cool breath of fresh air will be our guest today, Yegor Dioman, number 8 overall pick in the NBA draft for the Brooklyn Nets. Jimmer, like Connor Mance, he's just one of the finest individuals I've ever had a chance to meet and spend time around.
Yeah, he's just a genuinely nice person, and also a great basketball player. You can tell he cares about his craft. He's really trying to understand what he's not good at and dive into that and trying to get better at those specific things that are going to make him great in the NBA. And that's what I love about him. He takes that criticism. He doesn't take it to heart. He understands it. He knows about it already. And he's like, let's go attack it head on. We talk about that. And he's an old soul. You'll hear that on pod. He's just an old soul, but he's doing things the right way.
That conversation hits in about 8 minutes. And then following that, open gym questions, which are inquiries from all of you. We've been compiling them and have categorized them. Jimmer's going to answer at least three of your burning questions. One of them in at least one of them is going to make Jimmer feel a little uncomfortable because it deals with Steph Curry and stealing your spotlight, Jimmer.
Oh, gosh. Can't keep doing this to me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jeez. Bro. I'm sorry, man. And then we'll get to the 3x3 update, which includes choosing different types of 3x3 teams for the United States to compete in differing competitions, whether it's FIBA or just true international competition. Okay, enough of that. The early tray ready to go. Three top of mind subjects to set the pace on this pod. Jimmer, are you ready to shoot?
Always, always. Let's get it. These are good questions.
Number one, and you brought this up in our podcast chat, a conversation centering on the greatest high school athlete ever. Who's at the top of your list?
Well, it's funny. I saw this on Twitter and I saw it and I was like, oh, that's a great question. Right. And there's a lot of different avenues you can go through in this. Right. You can actually go pure athleticism. Has nothing to do with sport, or you can say like who excelled in their sport the best, or multiple. And I have a list compiled. I have five names here that are, I think, are all really good names.
Okay,
some you may have heard of, some you may not have heard of.
I don't know these, by the way. I have not heard these.
No, you haven't. Number one, LeBron James, obviously. I mean, if you're talking pure athleticism, I don't think there's anybody better. Like pure athleticism, his size, his strength, his athleticism. He played obviously number one recruit in basketball. He would have been an incredibly elite football player as well. He played at a high level in high school and could have easily gone and played at the next level as a receiver and would have been incredible. So he's on the list, obviously. Kyler Murray, amazing NFL quarterback right now, but he was also like the number two pick in the draft for baseball. So I'm like, for him to be able to be excel in both of those categories, amazing stuff. Allen Iverson.
Yes.
Dual threat quarterback in high school. Could not catch the guy. Had a great arm. And then you knew what he did in the basketball court. Another one, Randy Moss.
Come on.
With Jason Williams. With Jason Williams. Throwing it off the backboard, dunking it, all of these things. Obviously, we know what he did in the NFL. You got mossed. He's done all of it. It's absolutely great. One last name I'm going to throw at you, you may not ever heard of before. Greg Paulus. I don't know if you've heard of Greg Paulus.
Oh, the point guard for Duke. He was quarterback too, right?
He was the number one quarterback in the country, I believe.
Yes.
And he was a top five recruit for basketball. He went to Duke, decided to go play basketball. He wasn't the tallest guy. That's why he decided. Then afterwards, he actually went back and played football after his fourth year at Duke. And just in high school, he was it. He was someone that is around my age, a little bit older than me. So I heard about him a lot. And he scored so many points in high school and then was killing it on the football field. Could have gone anywhere he wanted to for both. He chose Duke for basketball and then went on his way. So that's my list right now. I love it. High school athletes, I want to hear your comments, but also all of our fans' comments. Who is the best high school athlete you've ever seen or you know about? Because there is so many out there. That's just five that I compiled.
I'm going to add three more names to the list, and these are all older generation folks, if you will. Jimmer, how about a shout out to Bo Jackson?
I mean,
come on.
Yeah, obviously.
That dude, it pains me that he got hurt and sustained such significant injuries
in his
professional career, because he was just a unicorn, Jimmer. My goodness. Yep. Bo Jackson, his high school career, college career, professional career as a multi-sport athlete, amazing. Same can be said for prime time Deion Sanders, right?
Deion
did everything in high school. Did it all.
Yep. And one of the greatest athletes of all time in general.
Yes. Third one I'm going to add, our guy, Danny Ainge, Jimmer.
I know. Such a great athlete. Yep. Go ahead and brag on it.
Underrated high school athlete. I mean, that dude, basketball, football, baseball, golf. Jimmer, he could have done any of those at a high level professionally. And he did. People don't know. He was drafted by the Toronto Blue Jays.
He was.
He played Major League Baseball. I was like, nah, I'm going to go play for the Boston Celtics. Yeah, let's do that.
No big deal.
Holy cow. Yeah, fun conversation. Great question you brought up. Okay, number two, NBA pet peeves. Oh, this is based on a video that surfaced recently of an incredible basketball player, Giannis Antetokounmpo, for the Milwaukee Bucks, with one of the most egregious gather steps
of all time
or interpretations of such that I have ever seen. Like, I understand the gather step, folks, but at some point it's like, okay, that's cheating. It's cheating.
Oh my goodness.
It's my number one pet peeve in the NBA right now, the gather step, and how just it's like this amoeba understanding of like what's allowed within the gather step. Can you take four steps in a gather step? Apparently you can.
You absolutely can. Until you touch that ball, you are gathering, right? You are a hunter and gatherer until you grab that basketball. And then all of a sudden you get two steps. So you basically get six steps if you want. It's really hard as a defender to be able to guard that. You could do three Euro steps in one, right? You do two Euro steps before you grab the ball, and then you do another Euro step. And you're like, all right, what am I supposed to do? And it's Giannis. He's 7 foot and as athletic as possible he can get. So when I talk about you can't guard these guys,
He's already a cheat code without having to do that.
I get it. I understand. So I like that one. That's a good one. I have two for you. I'm going to throw at you. Okay. The sweep through
for the shot. Hated it. Guys put their arms out, then they get that sweep through, and they finally stopped calling it on the shot, at least.
Like, they used to be able to do that, and you get two free throws. They at least did away with that so that you have to take it out of bounds. But still, I'm like, if the guy's playing defense and he just goes like this, that's an unnatural motion. If he's actually going up for a shot, sure. But when you're just like, dude, I don't like it. That's one. The last one, reviews at the end of the game. Oh my goodness. They have really killed the momentum of all of our sports because they take so long and you can do so many of them. And I understand they want to get it right. I get it. There's got to be a better system out there to be able to mitigate that, because at the end of games, taking out so much of the drama, it takes out so much of the air out of the room and out of the environment that they're playing in. So we got to do something with that. Those are my biggest two.
Okay. Yeah, we need to come back and discuss some of those at length. And that's another thing we want you to chime in. What are your biggest pet peeves about the NBA or just professional sports in general? Because the review clock is not just applicable to basketball, football, baseball. I mean, we have pitch clocks and shot clocks. Can we put the officials on a review clock? Like, you have to have an answer in 60 seconds.
I know. We need it. I agree. We need it. We'll come back to that.
All right. This third one, and we got to get to our conversation with Yegor Jelman very quickly here. So I'm going to have you answer this in part, and then we're going to come back and we're going to bring back and discuss it at length next time, because it is a loaded question. But if you could just give me very quickly, because Yegor's an overseas player and you were an overseas player, of course, he comes from Russia to America, and you go from America to several different countries, including a large contingent of time in China. What's one of the best things about playing overseas and living there, and one of the worst things?
Yeah. Though the worst thing is being away from family for me, right? That's by far the hardest thing. You're away from your kids, you're away from your wife, you're away from your home, just unfamiliar ground, right? You just don't ever feel like super comfortable while you're there because of the fact you're just not on your home soil. You're not in your home environment. So you're kind of always, you're not on edge or anything like that, but you're just kind of like, this isn't home, right? This is temporary spot. So I treat it that way. You don't put all your stuff out. You don't do all the decor that you want to do in all these houses. So you just don't feel necessarily the way that you normally would when you're home. So that's the hardest thing. The best thing about it is if you embrace yourself in that culture, you get to learn so many cool things about people, about the place that you live, the food, and also they end up loving you. Those people love you when you come over and embrace their culture. I know Yegor has found that at BYU. The people love him at BYU because he's embraced it. He's been such a good ambassador. He's been trying to understand the culture and the people. And if you do that going overseas, and I did that when I was in China, they end up loving you. And that is such a fun place to be in, to go to a place and have them understand who you are, want you there, and appreciate you being a part of that culture. So I'd say those are the two, you know, the worst and the best thing. But we'll definitely talk about this more.
When you embrace the culture, you get a nickname like the Lonely Master. Okay.
That's right. Jimo Dashen. Jimo Dashen.
Okay. Like you said, that's a conversation that we need to bring back next podcast, and we will, because it is loaded and very layered. But for the time being, that was a fun, fast pace early Trey. Well done, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Good work, Spence.
As always, it's delivered from the logo. Let's take our first break. When we come back, you waited long enough. Yegor Dioman, top 10 NBA draft pick and a international star now playing in the NBA, and his career is budding. Why, one, does he have no decorations in his apartment? We'll ask him about that. The toughest lesson he's learned in the NBA thus far, and why the change on the pronunciation of his last name? That all happens next when From the Logo with Jim Perfidet continues, presented by Primo Golf.
Hi, I'm Phil Mickelson, six-time major champion and captain of the High Flyers, but you already knew that. What you might not know is I'm a huge joggers guy. But it wasn't always like this. Once I gave them a shot, though, there was no going back. And it's not just me. The whole team loves them.
Are you sure about this, Phil? I don't know if I'm a joggers guy.
Yes, you are. See, he loves them. And it's not just the joggers. We're obsessed with the buttery soft quarter zips and blade collars so sharp, you might actually hurt yourself.
Oh,
that's why I'm so thrilled to announce that Primo Golf Apparel will be the official sponsor of the High Flyers in 2025. I did have one small request. How do they look?
Amazing.
Yeah. Did
that feel good?
Oh my God.
<You're now leaving.
laughs> Who's got my pants?
Welcome back to From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette, presented by Primo Golf. You know what time it is. The full court press is here. And our VIP guest this week is the number 8 overall pick in the latest NBA draft, a Russian point guard superstar, 6'9". He's been putting in work in the gym and now doing work for the Brooklyn Nets following an outstanding 1 year of college basketball at BYU, Yegor Dioman. And it is Dioman, Jimmer, not Demon. It is Dioman.
Yeah, he changed it up on us. He changed it up on us, but it is here and there. I can't wait to talk to him. He is the man.
Yes, we will discuss that name pronunciation at some point and his transition from early childhood basketball all the way to where he is. That conversation we recorded just a few minutes ago. Enjoy it in its entirety right now. Yegor Dioman on From the Logo. Yegor Dioman is on From the Logo, and he's been basically shooting it from the logo in the NBA at a high clip. Yegor, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Thank you so much, man. I'm good. I'm excited.
Hey, when did this three-point barrage start, Yegor? Because, like I said, you're shooting it at a high percentage, and that NBA line is further back than the college line, man. So what has the emphasis been there for you?
I think, you know, it comes from the summer work, that's for sure. And, you know, as we talked with you personally back then before the draft or right after the draft, I mean, that was one of the biggest focuses of the summer, right? I was focusing on the weaknesses and people were questioning my three-point shots a lot, even if I'm going to even shoot them. And, you know, I was lucky enough to have a really good coaching staff around me here that really want me to shoot anytime I can. So that's been a lot of work about it.
Yeah, Jordy's the best. I love Jordy. I've worked with Jordy some when he was in Denver, me living in Denver. So I've been with him a lot in the summers. He is absolutely incredible. So you got a great coach there. But man, you're turning into me. You're just shooting three-pointers, right? We're just staying outside and shooting three-pointers. I love it. I love to see it. It is phenomenal. Keep up that range of shooting the ball well. The form looks great. I love to see it. Besides the shooting, right? What else were you working on this summer to get prepared and get ready for the NBA game?
I think obviously probably even bigger emphasis was on my physicality and my strength in general, right? And I just need to get stronger. And this work, this emphasis is still there, and it's going to be for probably a couple of years now. And I mean, I did some strides. Obviously, I had the injury and I couldn't really play basketball for a couple of months after the summer league. And there was honestly, you know, I've always think, and my mom was always telling me, everything that happens, happens for a reason, right? So, and that was the moment when I had a chance to really gain weight and gain muscles, because I'm just not running, right? I'm just being in the lifting room for 3 hours a day, eating like crazy. And since draft, I gained like 12 pounds.
Wow.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah. And it, honestly, I think that's a game changer for me right now. And obviously, this is something that I keep having a track on. That's for sure.
The muscle man, Yegor Dioman, is bringing it on the podcast. Yeah, flex on him, Yegor.
Let's go. Let's go.
It takes on a new meaning. Let's go back to that injury. For those that don't know what you've been dealing with and how you're feeling now, what happened? What was the recovery like? And how are you feeling now?
So what happened is at the last game of the season with BYU, I started feeling some, I don't even call it pain. It was just like discomfort, right? Yeah. Just a little bit. I thought, you know, whatever, heels sometimes hurting because of how many games we play. So I wasn't really concerned about it. Then going into the pre-draft workouts, not with the teams yet, but my own workouts, right? I started feeling it a little bit more and thinking that it's plantar fasciitis. I started treating it. I started rolling it out and things like this, right? Didn't really help. So when I got to Brooklyn, we realized that it's nothing to do with the soft tissue. Mm. It's a bone bruise because of the shoe insoles, whatever it is.
Right.
Nobody knows, right? And bone bruise wasn't concerning us as much. And we decided that it's not going to get worse during the summer league.
Right.
And after summer league, I had that period of time where they said, hey, don't even walk fast. Just don't touch the ball. You know, just be laid down and don't even do anything, right? So we can make sure that it healed. Then I come back, still hurting, MRI, whatever it is. Different thing. Now it is a plantar fasciitis.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow it translated from the bone bruise into this soft tissue problem that takes a long time to heal, and a really annoying injury that you really want to make sure that it's healed 100% so it doesn't come back later. And it was just a long process of understanding how much I can do, how much, you know, I had different days. Load wise, right? I had heavy days, then I had days when I'm not even standing up from my bed, you know, and it was pretty hard to just like not being able to play basketball and, you know, being super limited in this, at this point where I can't even jump and just shoot under the rim, you know, with a little jump. Like I had to jump from the chair. I had to shoot from the chair. Then, you know, it translated to the just standing and shooting under the rim without even bending my knees. So it was a long, long process that I'm super happy that we kind of went through that. Because again, I said I had the chance to really bulk up and get stronger, get my mind right, because it was a pretty hard challenge.
Yeah.
And it definitely prepared me even more for what's coming in the season in the NBA. Yeah.
No, that's great to hear. I mean, there's always blessings within some difficulties, right? And that's the way that sometimes things shake out, as long as you have that mindset and think of it that way. So I love your thinking that way. But it is hard, right? Like injuries are part of the game. I've been, you know, injured at inopportune times in my career. And especially for you, like you're going into the NBA and you have to sit and actually heal. And you're like prepared and excited. You just got drafted. You're like, all right, let's go do this. And then you have to sit and kind of wait and get yourself healed and ready to go. So that's not easy to do, you know, for yourself. But how did you keep yourself mentally in the game, right? And mentally preparing yourself, knowing that you're going to get better and then you're going to have to be prepared to go start playing in NBA basketball games. How did you mentally stay prepared?
I think just, you know, trusting the process and trusting the people around me, knowing that, you know, I've been surrounded by people who really want me to succeed.
Right.
And not just the coaches here, but my agents, you know, my parents who's approaching it the right way, my friends and everybody who I work with. I really made sure that it's all good people who want me to be good, right? So, and all the efforts I could get, not just, you know, not being on the court, again, it's just opportunity to get something else. And I think this is how this approach helped me to stay on the track. Right. And
totally.
Really be able to stay healthy mind wise.
Two follow up questions to what you've just been telling us, Yegor. Number one, how are you as a shooter in a chair?
Not really good.
Not great.
Really good.
No, like just straight arm. Straight arm.
I need, man, I need some legs when I'm shooting, that's for sure. Yeah.
That's great.
No doubt about that. And then secondly, and the transition into NBA life is certainly one with several challenges, but what's been the biggest change for you in your life going from being a college athlete at BYU to now just a full-time pro with the Brooklyn Nets?
I think just the lifestyle. You know, I've been hearing about this a lot, and, you know, Coach Young was telling me obviously about this. He's like, man, enjoy college. Like, that's not going to be the same, you know? And Travis was telling me about the same thing. Travis Hansen, he was like, man, just be a kid, you know, be a kid for a little bit. Cause then, you know, you get here, that's a different level of responsibility, right? And it's your job now. You can lose it any moment. And you can, you know, you got drafted one place, you can end up in couple of months in the other place, and there's no really that much of a protection from it, right? So I think that was just hard for me to get used to this life where I'm like, okay, I gotta be a grown man, I gotta approach things much, much more serious, and I gotta understand the responsibilities that I hold on myself.
Yeah, because you're playing. I mean, when I got to the NBA, you don't realize, like, these guys are grown men. Like, they're 34, 35, 36 years old. They've been in the league for 15 years. They're some of the best players in the world. You know, they take it as their profession, right? That's how they work. That's how they feel. It's not necessarily just for fun anymore. It's what they do on a yep. daily basis. So it's something where you have to approach it that way. And, you know, to learn it at your age is going to be super helpful for you. Besides, you know, like, on obviously off the court and all that stuff, what's been the biggest difference for you on the court playing against these guys? What have you seen that you've had to change your game, or what has been the biggest surprise to you when you get on the floor with these NBA players?
So talking about from the standpoint of my team, it actually wasn't anything crazy because KY gave us so much of an NBA structure.
Right.
And I had a lot of knowledge from him coming here, language-wise, right? The slang, the basketball slang. Some principles. So we've been playing the actions we're playing right now. We've been playing it in college, you know, and it's kind of something that I'm used to. I think another thing that was pretty hard for me is the roles. So like in college, obviously, you know, we had Richie, who everybody knows what he can do. He can do whatever.
Yeah.
Right. We have somebody who's more role player, somebody more who's a leader here. And in college is more gentle. I want to say here is like, hey, we have Michael Porter Jr. He can shoot whatever he wants, you know, and again, that's his job. That's why he's here.
Correct.
And that's why he is who he is. Right. And everybody respect it. But yeah, I mean, everybody got to really fight for their role. And, you know, especially for us, for the rookies, we have a great opportunity here since, you know, it's 5 of us. And it's really young team and we get to play, but it's also 3 point guards. All of us are 19 and we got to fight for the starting spot, for the rotation spot. you know, and I think that's the kind of a difference. And playing against other teams and other players, obviously, you know, playing against, we played against Cleveland.
Yep.
Donovan Mitchell, it is really hard to do anything with it. It's just really hard to play against guys like that.
Yes, you know, it is.
It's just different. I mean, even just the scouting report, you know, when I just got here, I'm like, how are you guys doing scouting report for these guys? Like, that's just not really, it's not realistic, you know? And I mean, Donovan Mitchell is not near the best player in the league, you know?
Yep.
And even against him, you know, and I'm like, what are you doing against, like, Jokic or Giannis?
Yeah.
Like, there's really limited limits for them, right? There's not many things that you can really see as their weakness.
Yeah.
And I think this is the biggest difference on, you know, when I go and play against teams like that.
Yeah. Before you ask a question, Spence, just I remember, yeah, getting in and you're like, I tell Spencer all the time in the audience, these guys are trying to play defense. I promise you, like, people are trying. It just doesn't look like they're trying because the offense is so good that there's really nothing you can do with some of these guys. They're either going to make the shot or they're going to miss it. That's why they call it a make or miss league. You can do the best you possibly can. There's a few select guys that maybe can stay in front of guys or be physical enough to stay in front of some of these guys. But other than that, you're just trying to cut off angles, trying to make it as difficult as possible, but there's really nothing you can do for it. It's crazy.
And that's pretty funny for me because when we're doing individual workouts, you know, and I work on my defense and I get frustrated about something, coach is like, hey, you're not going to stop them.
Yeah.
That's not about stopping them. That's about making something more difficult for them. That's,
sure.
You know, they say it's not really their points are not really depending on you as much as like the team. Like if the team guard one guy, okay, then we can be lucky and the role players can miss more than this guy, right? It's not just one man in the land against this, you know, leader of the team, whoever it is.
Sure.
So that's exactly how it is, yeah.
Wow, real talk and real insight from Yegor Dielman on From the Logo. I mean, this is what it is in the NBA. And Yegor, as you continue your own progress, I know you've only played a few games, but what are you working on specifically right now to try and get better immediately the next time you step onto a floor?
I think the biggest thing that I've been talking about with the coaches right now is just getting to the paint as much as I can. And it's been I don't want to say a problem. It's just been something I've been missing in these games that I played.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they happy with how much I was shooting and I'm happy with how much I was shooting, but I had 1 2-point shot in four games and I'm not happy with that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for me as a playmaker, it's important to make people's life easier. And, you know, that could be my advantage. Anytime I get to the paint, I can look over, you know, all the defense and see what we can do out of it. So I think that's the biggest emphasis right now. How much can I get to the paint?
At some point, the Yegor float game is coming, or even a Yegor hammer. Like, it's going to happen. And truth be told, I know Jimmer feels the same way I do. It was so fun to watch you knock down one of those huge threes late in the game in a clutch scenario. What was that moment like for you, Yegor, taking that shot and making that shot and having your home fans in Brooklyn go absolutely bonkers?
I told after the game to the media who were asking me the same question, I said, it reminded me of BYU a little bit. It reminded me of BYU. And a lot of people said that night was pretty loud and so much louder than many games last season at the Barclays.
Yeah.
So it was really fun for me to experience it for the first time, right? And as I said, I felt it like back home at BYU, having the student section and the crowd going crazy when somebody hit the big time shot. So it was really fun.
That's so great. And had that emotion in you. And I love that, right? You're preparing, you're feeling good. And, you know, you're just going to continue to get better. The one thing that I love when I hear you speak about yourself right now is you understand the problems and you're attacking them. and you're going to go out and you're going to work hard for those. And I just understanding what you need to get better at is half the battle, admitting it, and then going out there and doing it. And I know you're going to continue to do that throughout your career. You're going to continue to get better and better as a rookie. And it's just because of your mindset, how you approach things, how you've handled things your whole life, which is awesome. Awesome to see, man. So keep that up. I want to go back a little bit to when you were younger. I want you to talk about what was life like and basketball like in Russia, where you grew up, and then talk to me a little bit how you got to Real Madrid to start.
Yeah, well, I started playing basketball way early, and I didn't even have a team yet. But my brother was in the team already. My brother is 5 years older than me, so, and I was just hanging out around his group.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's a pretty lucky situation what happened, because his second coach at the end became my head coach. So I knew this guy, I knew this man for so long, right? Way before I even got to the team. And he was giving me some drills. Like, well, I was super young. Obviously, it's hard to call drills. It was go around the cones and then, you know, layup. And then, so I'm 2006. And in Europe, obviously, it's not class. As in America, it's the year you were born. So, and my, this coach, he got a team of 2005. So the guy's a year older than me. And I decided to go there because I know him. And my family is really close with him. My brother was playing for him. So it was just something familiar to me, even though everybody were older. It's my first coach, right? And I believe that he actually put me on this path of having any future in basketball. And I'm really grateful to him about that, because he believed me a lot. He believed in me a lot. And he gave me those opportunities to make mistakes, you know, understanding that I'm missing a lot still, because I'm so much younger than other guys. I'm weak. I'm really small. But then I grew up. I grew up at some point.
Yes, you did.
There was a moment where I basically, the first season, the previous season, I was one of the smallest guys on the team. Next season, I'm coming to the season and I'm second tallest.
Wow.
And it was not cool, because I was hurting.
Yeah, your knees were killing you.
I was not be able to move, and I got this injury that kept me out for like half of the year with the what is it called?
Osgood Slaughters?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it was pretty bad, so I was I had to stay out for some time, and then I got back slower and slower, get a little bit stronger, and my last two years with the Russian team, we won championship, the national championship, and I got MVP of the tournament against obviously the older guys.
Right.
So, and there was kind of a moment where people started noticing, seeing me from the outside of Russia, right? And there was this guy who played back in the days with my dad in the same team. He's now an agent. He saw me and he was like, oh, that's your son? Like, let's try to find a team outside of Russia or something, right? Let's get some steps going, right? And they helped me to connect with Real Madrid. Because, we connected a lot of teams in Europe. And Real Madrid was one of them, because they were looking for like a combo guard, tall guard who can shoot, pass, whatever. And I was feeding it. So we were pretty confident about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it kind of happened so quick.
I'm sure.
I was like a kid. And for my mom, it was the most stressful time ever, probably.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, for my dad, obviously it's a little bit different, because my dad is a, you know, former basketball player. He knows what it takes. My mom also played basketball, but she never played professionally. And she's still a mom, right? So it's probably different for her. And she was really stressed out that I might just go somewhere alone. And I'm like 15, you know, and I'm not knowing any English, any Spanish. And I get there. We decided to go and play there because, and for me, I wasn't scared because I just really wanted to play basketball. And even thinking right now, how did I even go there without knowing anything? Like, I didn't know how to speak anything. And I was just like, how am I going to communicate? And, you know, I was just like, I'll figure it out. We'll see. I mean, basketball is still, it's a global language, right? And all the slang that uses in basketball, it's the same in any language. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to figure out this and how to be in the life is the second. And I got there, we play, some struggles, some wins, obviously, you know, and in 3 years, we lost probably three times, which I don't even know if it was good or bad. You know, sometimes it's not really good when you're winning so much, and all our wins were like 40, 50 points. Obviously, you know, it's because we were so much ahead because of the academy Real Madrid has and how much power and will they have just to bring the best players from all over the world, right? Yeah. And but it was great for me just because, you know, they developed me a lot, and it was just also the lifestyle there was pretty hard because we all live in a residence,
right?
Like basically like dorms.
Yeah.
And it's a big territory of Real Madrid with the football soccer fields and, you know, gyms and things like this, and you can't get out.
Yeah.
That's all you have. Yep. You cannot go out of there. You can go one time a week for a couple of hours, telling to our boss where you go, why you go, who you go with, you know, and he tells you what time you got to come back. If you're late for 2 minutes, you can get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought it was super dumb. And we hated it. We just were super like, why? Like, why are we like this? We're, you know, everybody called it golden cage. Just because you have everything you need, but no freedom. No freedom.
Yeah.
But, you know, and now I understand that this, because of that, I am who I am right now. And I like who I am right now. That helped me.
That's great.
Helped me so much to be able to understand what it takes to have discipline today. And when it's just in the morning, it's school. You come back, you do your homework, go to practice, have dinner, go to sleep. And like this throughout the year, pretty much. Right. And some games, like one game a week.
Yeah.
You know, not many games either. So you're not even playing basketball, really.
100%. That's an incredible story.
Yeah, and it was pretty hard. I mean, but I think that was super helpful. And if you ask me right now, would I do it again? I would say 10 out of 10 times, yes.
Mm.
And it was an amazing experience.
Yegor, you are an old soul, and I know that you've heard that before. You have so much wisdom because you started that path. I mean, your mantra in life in many ways is, I don't know, I'll figure it out, which is awesome. And your basketball journey, you would think, is crazy just in the Real Madrid world. But then this idea of playing college basketball in America gets presented to you and your parents and those close around you. And some random university, BYU, is in the mix. So I know you've told me the story before, but for those that don't know, because it's fantastic, what was your first impression and idea of BYU and American college basketball?
Yeah, first of all, college basketball for me was always the last position. I've never thought I'm going to be playing in college. You know, when I was deciding what I'm doing, I was like, okay, I'm either going back to Russia to play professionally, or I'm staying in Real Madrid to play professionally, or I'm just, you know, going to any team in Europe to play professionally. And college for me was like, I'm not interested. But then, obviously, understanding the opportunities of playing time, playing against, you know, kind of my age people. And again, staying in Real Madrid was super dangerous for me because knowing that I might not even play.
Yeah.
And same in Russia. And obviously it would be so far, it would be like a step back a little bit because it would be just harder for people to see me. And going to college was a decision. It was a very late decision. And we had to really understand what are we doing now, right? When we decided it's college, so many options.
Yeah.
Where am I going, right? And, you know, you're saying it was a random place, but at that moment, it was not random anymore. It was, with KY there, it wasn't random anymore at all. So I think that's what caught our attention first, obviously. And then we start digging in even more. And, you know, he was amazing in recruiting me. And they brought Travis there, right? And I really, really, really liked the way they were approaching this process. And they knew everything about me. They knew how they wanted to use me. Obviously, again, that's such a NBA preparation. I could see the difference between BYU preparation and the other colleges. And I just knew what to expect. I had several Zooms with the coaching staff and with Travis, and you know it was more for my parents because I was ready to just go and play basketball anywhere, but for them it was important to understand, okay, who am I going to play with, who is the coach, what the relationships are going to look like, what's the organization. And for me it was also more difficult because I didn't have any visits.
Yeah.
I committed without visiting. So, and every time I'm saying it to somebody, people are like, you're crazy. Like, that's not real.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but again, it's probably even better that I didn't visit because at BYU would have even more advantage. That's for sure.
That's great.
And I think it's good because I didn't have this, I'm not sure how to call it. Like, I didn't have these expectations of the gym I'm going to be playing at, right?
Right.
The where I'm going to leave. Like, I didn't care about that. I just cared about what's going to be on the court.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me everything I could possibly expect. And it was amazing. And then obviously knowing the culture, at this point, we start really trying to understand what the culture looked like. What is Utah looking like in general, right? And hearing, you know, that I didn't know much about the religion in Utah yet and BYU, how it looked like. And for me, it was just great to learn that people there are not drinking or not partying, you know, they're, most of them are good people sort of thing. So I'm like, okay, that's like me, you know. And when I really got there, this understanding got even more clear because I'm like, okay, I'm a part of this group, right? I'm not nothing different.
Right.
And I'm not going to be weird for not going to party with the whole team, right? And I'm not going to be a weird guy for not drinking or not smoking, you know, and things like this. So I really felt like a part of that group, and it was special for me, that's for sure. And again, I got my best friends for life from there, you know, and I was just super happy to get there. And I never had one regret about that decision.
That's so awesome. What a cool story of BYU and you being able to embrace that culture. I mean, I relate to that some, like not from Russia, obviously, I'm from upstate New York, but you know, someone who went from being a wicked person for not drinking and not partying to going to BYU and being able to be in the same kind of boat, it just makes you feel comfortable. And that's what I found. It makes you feel comfortable. When you feel comfortable off the floor, you are going to do really well on the floor, right?
100%.
And I think that that's a really big thing that people miss when you're making a decision of where you want to go play, especially for college, is you have a lot to say in that. Where would you want to go to school if you're not playing basketball? Like, that is a big part of it, just so that you can perform to your expectations on the court and feel well when you get on the floor. So I love to hear that. Love that you fit right in. Obviously, we love you, and the BYU fans have embraced you right from the get-go because you've embraced it. And you talked a little bit about Travis Hansen. I just want to get into that a little bit because my viewers may not know. So a lot of them will, but some of them won't know about Travis Hansen and your relationship there. How did that come to be? Obviously, Travis played in Russia for a long time, was a great player in Russia, knows Russian super well. But how did that relationship come to be, and how big of an influence was he in your recruiting process and getting to BYU?
So when we just start talking on the Zooms, I actually thought he's somebody at BYU, like he's working at BYU.
he wasn't at the time.
Yeah, and you know, now I manifested it, I guess. So now he's there.
Now he is.
But yeah, it was, I thought he's somebody, like he has a job at BYU. And then I just realized that they brought him there just because he was playing exactly in the same places where I was playing.
Yeah.
And it feels special, honestly, just because, you know, he went through BYU, then NBA, then Real Madrid, Russia.
Right. Yep.
Right. And it was so great to just kind of share the experience. Right. And he asked me about BYU. He asked me about Real Madrid. I asked him about Real Madrid. We talked about Russia and things like this. And my dad remembers him as a player.
Yeah.
So he saw him playing in Russia. And we kind of start building this trust way early.
Right.
Which was a good thing. Again, it just helped me a lot to feel that I'm safe, I'm in a safe place, and that people understand what I need, right?
Totally.
And it was great. I mean, he was taking care of me the whole year. He's my best friend. He's been my mentor.
Yeah.
He's been helping me a lot with my how to figure out my mind. He's been helping me a lot with the with money, just understanding how it works.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I got to find the financial team. I actually did. And they asking me, how do you know much? I'm like, that's Travis.
Mm.
That's Travis, man. He teaches me a lot of things. And, you know, it was really important for me to have, and even more important for my parents, that I have somebody next to me who's really not just caring about me as a basketball player, but as a person.
Sure.
And
that's awesome.
We had so much fun. I mean, he invited me for Christmas in their home, and it was an amazing time. You know, I didn't go. It was my first Christmas away from my own family in Russia. And it was an amazing Christmas because I was with my second family. These guys are definitely my second family now, and I really appreciate Travis and all of his family. They're great people.
Yegor Dioman is on From the Logo. So much great insight that you're offering here, Yegor. And you've already talked about Kevin Young and the NBA style that he coached with and how great that was for you as you acclimated to the college game and prepared to get to the NBA. What are your communications like with him now? And even with Travis, as you are living the NBA life, and what type of advice are they giving to you as they watch you play for the Nets?
We talk a lot. Obviously, you know, with KY, I've been talking a lot throughout the pre-draft process because he knows how it is, right? And for me, everything was new. And I'm just super grateful to him that he's open to listen to me whenever I'm having some worries, you know? And it's not even like I'm asking questions. I'm like, coach, like, things are like that, you know? And he's like, well, you know, that's NBA, that's a dream, but there's some things that you got to go through, you know, and he supports me a lot. And I think that's really, really important to me. And with Travis is the same thing. I mean, we are in the contact and obviously everybody's busy, especially now when season is starting. But, you know, for me, it's very important to hear from them. And sometimes I just, you know, feel like texting them and asking them how they're doing, you know, and I wish I was a little bit closer to so I can visit them, right, and yeah, see some games and go hang out with Travis. But I mean, that it is what it is, right? And Travis promised me he's gonna come some of my games, and I hope he's not lying.
If he is, we're gonna give him a hard time. We will crush that dude.
Yes, we will. I have a feeling he'll be there. I have a feeling that he'll be at several of those basketball games, and that's such great things to hear. So Yegor, what is the hardest lesson that you've learned so far in your young NBA career?
I think being patient It's kind of start hitting already. It's pretty crazy to think of, but there's times of adversity, and it's a lot of it, just because how serious the league is, right, and how serious this to hold on this job is. Even though, again, I almost feel bad talking about it after four games. Like, I have no experience yet, but I already felt it out a little bit, right? And there's injuries, as we talked, right? And it's probably the biggest adversity, right? And there is loses. There's losing. And obviously, we go 0-5 right now, and there's a lot of adversity in the team. The group is, pretty low mentally, but this is something we're really trying to work on every day. And coaches are aware of it, obviously, which I'm pretty sure they also not liking it, but it's a challenge that we got to go through, and there's definitely going to be wins. And, you know, we just got to make sure we're doing our best effort for it, and individually and as a group.
Let's stay now with your NBA life, but we're going to transition into what we call rapid fire, which are more kind of fast paced questions. And you can spend however short or long you want on these. But because Jimmer had such an incredible welcome to the NBA moment when Kobe Bryant in a preseason game says, no, I'll take Jimmer, you know, and he runs across the court, and now Kobe's guarding Jimmer. It's like, hey, welcome to the NBA. That's wild. So what was your welcome to the NBA moment, if you've had one?
I actually was thinking about it. I was like, what am I going to say if somebody asked me this? And I'm not sure. I mean, I want to...
might not have had it yet.
I want to wait for that one moment that I'm going to be like, oh, that's definitely it.
Yeah.
You know, there... There were a couple of them, obviously, when, you know, guarding to, again, coming back to Donovan or guarding LaMelo, you know, and I'm like, okay, that's pretty hard to be against them. That's not easy. And, but I want to wait for that one moment that I'm going to say, okay, that it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to frame that moment and I'm going to say, this is where it started from. Yep.
It will happen. I promise you it will happen, and you'll know exactly when it does happen. And like you said, if it's not there yet, but it will happen. Okay. Great stuff. Next question. First thing that you bought with your new contract.
I didn't get a check yet.
He's still waiting.
It's still two weeks out. He's gotta wait. Yep. It's coming real quick. It's coming real quick. I know that. I know the day that it comes, but okay, what is the first thing that you think you're going to buy?
That's a good question. I mean, everything I've been buying right now is I paid my rent, which was not easy. It was frustrating.
Not in New York. Obviously, not New York.
Exactly. Coming from Utah to New York and paying for the rent, it's pretty hard. I can't lie. That wasn't mentally the easiest thing. I got some needs, some clothes, you know, I gotta be on the same level with the status and
with
some
the clothes.
Clothes.
Yeah.
And just kind of stuff like this. Furniture costs a lot here too.
It does.
Furniture, it also hurt, but we will see. I'm not planning to buy a car this year. So I don't think there's going to be a big purchase. I think I'm just gonna try to be smart with my money and look, you know, for the opportunities where to invest it and make sure they're safe.
A smart man. Get the swag too. Get the, like, he's gonna get some swag coming into the arena. I know that.
This is the wisdom we keep talking about, Jimmer, with Yegor, like the slow approach. Yeah, it's wise.
The best. A long way. That's right. Way to go.
Okay. Which teammate have you become closest with in Brooklyn?
I actually pretty good with everybody, and I'm trying to really be a good guy around.
Yeah.
Right. And be a friend of everybody, which is sometimes it's hard, but I'm pretty good with this one guy named Tyrese Martin.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Terrence Mann was a great, great, great guy for this group. I'm really happy we got him. And I get to know him a little bit more, and he's not the loudest one, but he knows what he's talking about when he does. That's for sure.
Yeah, you'll continue to find out that one or two people that you get really close with as the season progresses. And that's kind of how it works in NBA, right? You're always nice and good with everybody, but there's always like one or two guys you become most close with. You go to dinner with on the road. You kind of hang out with the majority of the time, because a lot of the people, you know, don't realize like NBA players kind of have their own people that they hang out with.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like a college, like you're talking about, where it's camaraderie all the time. You're finding that one person you can hang out with, and everybody else kind of has their own guys, and that's just how it works. So you'll continue to find. You had
that's for sure. Yeah, I think that's also one thing that I got used to.
Yeah,
I gotta get used to, right? You know, from college, the BYU, we go, we do bonfire, we go play bowling, you know, hikes, things like this. And here, majority of people have families.
Yeah,
some guys have kids, wives, and you know, then everybody's tired. Nobody want to really go and hang out. And if they do, it's majority of time is a club or
it's
something like this.
It's a different hangout than we want.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I'm not trying to go to those places. That's for sure.
Yeah. Been there. All right. So let's talk a little bit about what's your favorite thing that they serve at the facility. Cause I don't think people realize the NBA facilities, they have actual places where you can get food, and their chefs are amazing in most of these places, and it's incredible. What's your favorite from the Brooklyn Nets?
They really do really good like steaks and some type of meats. Like that's something that they really, really, really good at. And the sea bass that we get, man.
Oh, I love sea bass.
Insane.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
Insane. No, our kitchen is probably one of the best in the NBA.
That's great.
I've heard that.
Fantastic. All right, Yegor, we do need to clear something up, because for almost a full year, I and others were calling you Yegor Demon. But then there was this revelation that your last name is actually pronounced Dielman. And it was like mind blowing for me and so many others. So just to clarify, am I saying it correctly? Dielman.
You do, man.
Let's go.
I honestly feel so much. I feel bad because I confused everybody. You know, and I cannot blame nobody for it but myself. I started it, and I'm taking it on me. So,
oh my goodness, we got it right now though. It took
Full
year. It took a full year, right? All the BYU fans are never gonna know it for the rest of their lives, but we got it now. And when Kevin Harlan or Reggie Miller is saying your name, they will get it correct. And I promise you that. So that's what matters. Then that's what it is. All right. Final question for you here, Yegor. I heard Charles Barkley talk about this the other day, actually, with VJ. You still have nothing on your walls, right? What's going on? What's going up on the walls? How are you going to furnish your apartment?
I mean, I'm trying to be creative about it. Same as about anything else in my life. And yeah, I have somebody helping me with it.
Nice.
And my mom is actually designer of interior.
Oh,
okay. So you got it in.
She was trying to help me with that too. So we'll see. It's going to take some time for sure. But I want to invest it in that for sure, because I want it to be my home, right? And especially in NBA, it's, you know, now I understand that there's no better feeling than coming back to your place and in a quiet space where you can just, you know, relax. So I want it to be comfortable. I want it to be cool and something that I like.
Well,
a patient approach, even to the interior decorating of your apartment. That's the perfect way to wrap up this conversation, Yegor. A bookend, if you will. I can't tell you how good it is to talk with you, brother. We obviously miss you here in Utah and Jimmer in Colorado, out here in the western part of the United States. But we're dialed in, bro. We are watching you and what you're doing. We're super excited for you. and can't wait to have our paths cross at some point. Maybe when you visit Utah and take on the Utah Jazz, Jimmy should probably get over that game and we should go together.
100%. Oh, yeah. I'm expecting all of you guys there. I'm going to be disappointed not seeing you.
Yep. We're going to get it on the calendar. We'll get it on the calendar. We'll be there. Yep. Can't wait for it. Congrats on the season so far. Keep up with the good work, man. If you need anything, obviously, I'm always here. And it's fun to watch. So keep crushing it. And thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Awesome.
It was a great time.
Thanks, Yegor. It is nearly impossible not to love him, Jimmer. He is one of the most likable people on planet Earth.
Oh, he certainly is. He's just so genuine, right? Like you said, he's an old soul. He just loves basketball. He loves basketball, but he also loves the people of Utah and BYU. Like he truly does. They are like his family. They brought him in and he just fits so well with the culture and what they were trying to do there as a basketball team, but also just off the floor. He talks about that, which I just absolutely, I relate to. So I understand where he's coming from. I get it. And he's just a joy to talk to. I just root for him endlessly to be a great NBA basketball player because I think he has the talent, the know-how, the size. He's got all of it, and it's just about him putting in the work, and I know he's going to do that. So I just root for him every single day.
What an ambassador he is for the game of basketball and for every program that he's been involved with, whether it's BYU, Real Madrid, his Russian connections. He's just the best of the best. That said, time to call a timeout. When we return, let's get to your open gym questions. We have a wealth of submissions from you that we have compiled. We're going to get to at least three of those next. Jimmer answers your hard questions, including one about why Steph Curry should be thanking Jimmer. It's making you feel uncomfortable already just saying that.
It absolutely is.
That is discussed when From the Logo continues after this. This episode of From the Logo is sponsored by Primo Golf, founded in 2020 by a family in Utah that believes golfers are athletes too. And you know what? Golfers absolutely are. Use the code FROMTHELOGO, all one word, for 15% off your purchase at PrimoGolfApparel.com. That's PrimoGolfApparel.com. From the Logo continues, and it is time to open things up to our listeners and viewers. We have been carefully compiling a lot of your questions and comments on YouTube and X and Instagram and our social media platforms, and now we take those questions right to Jimmer. You can take your shot. He will answer them. And it is appropriate that we are taking a shot with this first question because it relates to someone who does it at a very high level, that of Steph Curry. And the question comes from at DeWong_1 on X, who asks the following, Jimmer. How do you feel about Stephen Curry stealing from you with your trademark shot from the logo? Oh, that thief, wow. Steph Curry. And they add, without you, Jimmer, Steph Curry would be nothing. It's a lot to process there, man. How you feeling about that?
Goodness gracious, man. Like, coming out firing right away with these questions. I mean, Steph Curry has nothing on... No, I'm just kidding. Like, it is awesome what Steph Curry has done, right? Like, and people forget, like, back in college, Steph was amazing, right? He went to the league like a year or two before I did, and he was shooting, you know, deep shots. He was shooting, you know, pretty much from the logo at that point and playing extremely well at a high level at Davidson, had a great NCAA run, like just incredible stuff. And then I came a year or two later and it just kind of like blew up. And people were really seeing this, but we were a really highly touted, nationally ranked team. And I think that's had a lot to do with it for us to be able to just go out there and we were playing great. We're a top 10 team and I was scoring a ton of points, shooting from everywhere that Coach Rose would let me. And it was pretty much everywhere. And it was just a blast. We had such a good time and I was just pulling up from the logo and then people were like, oh man, then Steph, you know, took your shot and all that stuff. I was like, I'm pretty sure Steph was doing that pretty early on as well.
At Davidson.
And then obviously in the NBA, he took it to another level. He is the best shooter of all time. There's no debating that. Like, the way that he can get a shot off on from the logo, off the dribble, off the catch, the way he moves, how quickly he can get his shot off. Like, all of those things are incredible. Obviously, I feel like I do have a little bit of part of making that transition for people to start shooting the ball from a longer distance. I definitely feel like I was a part of that movement, right? I think Steph was obviously a huge part of that movement. I believe I was a part of that movement. Damian Lillard was a guy that was shooting from super far back, like all these, and it just became normal for guards to do that. And so I like to think that I definitely have part of it, but I don't want to overshine Steph Curry. That guy did it first and is the best shooter of all time. And it's incredible what he's been able to do for the league.
He literally has changed the way that the NBA plays basketball. He has revolutionized the game.
Yes, he has. He really has. And some people are like, is it good or bad? Because there's no one else out there that's been like Steph Curry. So people that try to be like Steph Curry, they can't do it. So we haven't seen that yet. So it's like, is it good? Is it bad? I think generally it's good because you see more spacing, you see more, skill and people having a guard from farther out. But at the younger levels, you see a lot of heaving of the basketball because of what Steph Curry's done.
Fair to say you enjoyed the Michael Porter Jr. treatment that Yegor talked about earlier when you were at BYU, right?
Absolutely. If I can have the green light like Michael Porter Jr. does right now with the Brooklyn Nets, everyone would be happy in that position. Just get the ball and shoot it no matter where it is.
Question number two. This one submitted in our YouTube comments, and Wesley-G6NHFVD, got to be very, very clear about that, very specific on that handle, says the following. When I was listening to episode 7, I had a question for you guys. The conversation about Major League Baseball's World Series made me think of this question that I want to get your take on. That is, what are your thoughts on banana ball? Would you go to a game if you have it?
That's a great question. So it's funny because our first two guests, Kyle Van Noy and Jeremy Guthrie, both of them mentioned the Savannah Bananas. They have ties to them. They've been a part of it. They've seen it. So we asked them questions about it. We're like, hey, what is this like? Both of them had raving reviews, right? They were both like, this is such a fun event. It's family friendly, family oriented, and they do a great job of entertaining. And you really feel like you're a part of the show, whether you're in the stands, whether you're on the field, whatever it is, you feel like you're a part of the show. And it's something special when you get there. So absolutely. I love it. I love what they're doing. They're selling out stadiums all over the country, probably all over the world here coming up soon. And they are just doing their thing. And it is a fun time. I would bring my kids there in a heartbeat. I'd be a part of it in a heartbeat. I'd get struck out. I'd do a dance. I don't care what they want me to do. If the Vanna Bananas want me to come, I will be involved. I absolutely am all for it.
I need to make it happen. I really do. I'm with you. I think that it's such a family-friendly event, and they're creating a league and more teams, and it's becoming like this new, I don't want to call it a cult following. It's just a straight-up fantastic. Yeah. Like it's
a great product.
Yes, it is a high-level product and so fun to watch and so family-friendly. Who doesn't want to watch a guy do a handstand, and while he's doing a handstand on the mound, throw a pitch?
Strike. I don't know how they do it.
The things they think of are incredible. So yeah,
like Cosmo.
It really is. I would absolutely go to the Savannah Bananas game. Okay. Last question here in Open Gym from @PhilipAbrams, also submitted on YouTube. He asks, two-part question. Is 3x3 played indoors or outdoors or both? And number two, is the same ball used for indoor and or outdoor if you'd play on both of those surfaces?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yes, they are played both indoor and outdoor. Generally, they're outdoor. If they can, they want to have these events outdoors. That's where it's originated. That's what they do. Most events have a tarp over it, and they have stands around it. So it does feel like a stadium, and it keeps the sun from being away. There are some tournaments that don't have that, though, where the sun is a factor, right? And the wind is a big factor. Like, there's definitely points where that is the case, and they like it that way. They want it to be an outdoor sport. They want to differentiate from 5-on-5 basketball. So yes, you do play indoor outdoor. Now, that being said, they will bring an Enleo court, which is like the rubber sport court that you play on, inside in order to play. They will not play on like a hardwood floor in almost any of these events. They're bringing those, the Enleo floor, inside so that it's the same material and same type of feel, just on an indoor floor. So that's how it is there. And yes, we will use the same ball for indoor outdoor. So that's the great thing about that ball. It's literally an indoor outdoor basketball. It wears very well outdoors. You can use it for a long time, but it also works on the hardwood if you wanted to practice inside and do it all that. So it's the same ball, same weight, same everything. And generally speaking, they are outdoors, but you can play indoors.
And as you pointed out, the 3x3 basketball is the circumference or size of a women's basketball, but the weight of a men's basketball.
That is correct. That's exactly what it is. It's a little bit odd at first when you feel it. You're like, this is smaller than I remember, but it's the same weight. And the weight is definitely more important. Like, if the weight was less, if it was a women's ball that you're playing with, size and weight, the weight throws your shot off more than the size, is what I've figured out. It only takes a couple of shots for it to feel normal. And then you're like, all right, cool. It's the same weight. You just shoot it the same way. Whereas if it was lighter, you'd have to take some off of it, right? So it's definitely better that it's the same weight for us. And then the women, it's different, right? The women is like, this isn't great because it's heavier. So I do have to put a little more oomph into it, a little more arc. I'll put a little more leg into it. So it's a disadvantage there for the women.
Great questions discussed in open gym. And Jimmer, remind folks how they can submit their own questions.
Yes, of course. If you'd like to submit questions for me, Spence, our guest, as we go through, just make sure you do it on our socials. Follow us at JimmerFTL and post your comments there. We look at all of them, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Instagram, wherever it is, make sure you post your questions. We take them, we put them in our tab, and we get to them. So make sure you do that.
The 3x3 update is next, coming off a question about 3x3 basketball. And we're going to further that conversation. Specifically, how in the world does GM Jimmer pick the FIBA World Tour team compared to selecting the United States national teams? What are the differences there? The stress is real for Jimmer when he has to do this. That is discussed when From the Logo continues, presented by Primo Golf.
All right, guys, we are so excited to celebrate 5 years of Primo.
If you or your business are looking to reach a wide audience, From the Logo with Jimmer Fredette will help you reach your goals. Whether you're interested in title sponsorship, segment sponsorship, or product placement on the podcast, email us at jimmerftl@gmail.com and let us help you shoot your shot.
Yes, From the Logo moves into the final quarter, and we do so with our USA Basketball 3x3 update. You know what time it is if you've been with us. It's time for GM Jimmer to take the scene on the latest for the drive to gold in 2028 from his 3x3 teams all over the world. Plus, weekly insight or rule, per se, to get acclimated with one of the newest and fastest-growing Olympic sports. Jimmer, where would you like to start the 3x3 conversation today?
So today we'll start with Team Miami. You guys have heard about them, obviously. This is the final stretch. We talked about how they got into the finals. They have one last Master or World Tour event in Bucharest, Romania. That is their last one before they move into the final. So we're excited about it. We hope they do well. They've been crushing it. They've been in first or second in their last 5 tournaments. So they're rolling right now, playing super well, just the way that we wanted them to. And they're rolling into the final, and they are very close to becoming the number one team in the world.
Ooh. Like
them and Oob are right 1-2, and they're real close. So these last two tournaments are going to be very pivotal to see who can be the number one team after the season. If you get number one team, you get allocated to more tournaments next season, which is a big deal. They win more money, all of the things. So excited about that. And we'll see how they do. Okay. So I wanted to talk a little bit about today, because I am in the midst of picking teams for the World Tour final. Right? Who's going to be on that roster? And then also the AmeriCup that we have coming up. The AmeriCup is a tournament that goes, you know, obviously it's for all of the Americas. They have zones in 3x3 basketball and in FIBA basketball. There's the Americas, there's Europe, there's Asia, you know, there's all of these different zones. There's Africa. And because of that, we are in the AmeriCup zone. And that consists of all of North and South America. Right. So we'll be playing in the end of November, right after Thanksgiving. We're going down to Leon, Mexico, and playing in that event. So I'll be talking about that more. But I'm in the midst of picking these teams. And it's interesting because we're talking about that a little bit. So on the FIBA World Tour side, right, there is only you can only have six guys on a roster. Okay, so you have six guys on a roster. Obviously, only four of them actually travel and play at the events. So you have six guys, and then it's up to me to be able to pick these teams for every tournament, right? So I'm picking the rosters for every tournament. As you see, like Team Miami has played a lot this year. We had Team BC who played. We had Team Phoenix who played. And I'm picking all of these rosters, and I'm trying to put them together. I'm trying to find the right guys, the right mix, the right camaraderie. And you have to have some tough conversations with guys, because towards the end of the year, I like to get it down to about five guys on that roster. And the sixth guy, you're kind of just like, hey, I'm sorry, but we've been awesome, but we're going to go with these five guys. And we're going to rotate through them so that they can build camaraderie and actually build a foundation going into some of these later events. So that's always difficult, but also you have to pick. So the 3x3 season goes from April until November. I have to pick and solidify those rosters in February. Ooh. So I need to make sure that the guys that I'm picking on these rosters are going to play full time and they're going to be there throughout the full season. Because if you lock in a guy, you can't take that person off unless you pay a hefty fine, which USA Basketball does not want to do almost ever. And if they do, it's very rare occasions. Or and if the guy all of a sudden it's like, hey, I just don't want to play anymore, then you're kind of out of luck and you get down five guys and then you're kind of, you know, just waiting and hoping that no one gets injured or all these different things. Right. So it's a really tricky game to try to figure out who is going to be on these rosters at the beginning of the season and who will stay on these rosters for the rest of the season, for the FIBA World Tour. Now, for the AmeriCup, it's different because that is an international competition. So, therefore, I can actually pick from pretty much anyone that I want to. The only thing that they have is stipulation for being in the AmeriCup is that two of the players on the roster have to be in the top 10 of points earners in the USA in the FIBA World Tour. Right. So you have all you have points that we'll go over someday for each player. So there's tons of USA players playing out there on Team Miami, on Team DC, on Phoenix, on Harlem, on Princeton, there's players playing overseas that are American, playing on Chinese teams, playing in Japan, playing in Europe. They all have points accumulation. And I have to pick two of those guys from the top 10. So it's important for me to have my teams actually be involved and actually be in those top 10 so that I can pick from guys that I actually like and then I'm actually picking. So it's really important that I do that. So then those two can be on the AmeriCup team and then I can pick two other players of any kind to be on those players on that team. So I'm trying to find the right mix of guys for international competition, for FIBA competitions, and everything in between. And it's like that for all, it's going to be like that for the Olympics. It's going to be like that for the World Cups that are coming up, all those international competitions. And it's just a very crazy balancing act. I'm sure most of you are like, what is going on?
I don't know what you're talking about in any of this, but that's why I'm here. I'm here to talk to you about it. So if you have questions, please leave them in the chat because it is a complicated system. We'll continue to go over it. But that's my update of the day, right? That's my Furious 3 update today. Team I Am is doing great. We're talking about rosters. I'll keep you updating who I pick on the AmeriCup on this podcast. We'll have to drop it here, obviously.
Ooh.
And it'll be fun. So there we go.
Fantastic insight, Jimmer. A couple of follow-ups there for what you just laid out. Number one, how much pressure do you feel in your current role to get the right teams? Like, just walk me through your mindset and mentality of, like, how you balance that, because obviously the United States wants to win gold in every sport ever created.
Yes. A lot of pressure. You know, that's part of it. USA basketball is the gold standard, right? So you see their men's and women 5-on-5 teams, they're always winning gold. Like, that's just how it works. And at the lower levels, divisions, we're always winning gold. So that's what we expect. And we know that in 3x3 basketball, that's not necessarily always going to be the case. But we want to have ourselves make sure that we are in the right position to be able to win a gold medal if that tournament works out that way, right? We want to make sure that we're on top of it. They have the best roster we can out there. But it is a balancing act to make sure that we have two of the top 10 players that are great players that we actually think can be on the team and should be out there playing, which we do at this point. And then also being in guys that maybe all four of them are in the top 10. Maybe they aren't, right? I'm trying to find the right mix of guys, but you feel a lot of pressure to be able to win these events. I mean, that's what we expect. That's what I expect. And I'm a competitive person, right? So I'm not like, hey, whatever happens, happens. I want to win these events too. And I know that for USA, it's important. So you feel a lot of pressure. But I like pressure. Pressure is a privilege. So you always hear that. Like, I am not shying away from that at all. That's why I took the position. I understand that. That's what comes with it. So now it's about going out there and putting your best foot forward and then making sure that it means something to you.
Second thing, as we close out this segment in this episode, Jimmer, has there ever been a more Serbian team name than Team Oob?
No, maybe Partizan. Partizan's pretty Serbian too. Right? Like, that's pretty good, but it's literally UB Oob. That's the name of the team, and they're the number one team in the world. We're coming for it though. We're coming for it.
Come on.
And when I was there, they were the number one team in the world until we overtook them, and then they were number two and for a little while, and they gained number one pretty quickly after Olympics again. And so it's just, yeah, they're always up there, but it's Oob. Love it.
Great stuff. Jimmer bringing it in the 3x3 update. Any final thoughts as we say goodbye in our latest episode that featured the great Yegor Dioman?
He crushed it. He's such a great dude. I'm excited for him. We talked about how he's, you know, I just need him to start shooting some more layups, some more two-pointers, right? He's shooting all those threes, and it's great, and he's showing off that he can actually shoot, and I knew that, you know, going into the draft, which was great, but he was awesome. Thanks so much. Please leave comments on the chat, and we're excited to keep this rolling.
Jimmer's going to shoot his shot. Yegor's going to shoot his shot. Clearly, I'm going to attempt to do the same, and all of you, we would urge you to do it in whatever capacity in your life you need to. Shoot your shot, people. We'll see you next time.